Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stamos.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. Well, this week in Seattle has been a beautiful week. It's spring, it's sunny. Still a little cool, but yesterday I was walking with just a sweater on. It's fabulous. You know, the spring just brings things out in us, and I hope you are all enjoying the springtime too. It's a time to plant new seeds in your life, and what do you want to come forth? And it relates today to who we're going to talk to, Reverend Ruth Miller, because it's about, as we think, so we are. And so planting seeds is, you know, what do we want to bring forth into our life right now? So Reverend Ruth Miller is a New Thought minister with degrees in anthropology, environmental studies, cybernetics, and system science, and has taught at universities and churches throughout the Pacific Northwest. She brings over 20 years of scientific study of consciousness and culture to transform our understanding of who we are and what we're capable of as human beings. She is currently a circuit riding preacher serving New Thought and Unitarian Universalist churches in Oregon, Washington, and California. She is the author of Unveiling Your Hidden Power, a book of Uncommon Prayer, and Mary's Power, and also the Paths of Power biographies. She's the editor of the Library of Hidden Knowledge series, which she has translated the works of some of the greatest thinkers of the late 19th and early 20th century. And Reverend Miller's interpretations have made it possible for 21st century readers to easily grasp the essential ideas and use the powerful practices that these great teachers offered. You can visit her online at RevRuthLMiller.com. So welcome, Ruth, to Voices of Women.
Hi there. I'm so glad to be able to be here. This is a treat.
Yes, well, tell us about your journey of becoming like this translator to these 19th and early 20th century, and what I'm gathering, they're kind of New Thought, early New Thought people in this New Thought movement back then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been studying, practicing, teaching, you know, the New Thought principles for a long time, and found that my students were having a hard time digesting what people like Ralph Waldo Emerson or Emma Curtis Hopkins or even Emily Cady were saying, that we haven't trained people to read Shakespearean English very much in our country lately. And so people would get lost in the complex sentences or in the references to people they'd never heard of and so on. So what I started doing for my students, I started actually with Emily Cady's Lessons in Truth, and I just wrote the same concepts in shorter paragraphs, shorter sentences, explaining the references or replacing them with things that were more familiar. So I did that with Lessons in Truth back in 1999-2000. And then I was working with Emma Curtis Hopkins' Scientific Christian Mental Practice with my students in 2001-2002, and they were getting very frustrated. And then I had to leave town. I came to the East Coast, which is where I am right this minute, for several months. And they kept saying, but we want to continue the study, but we can't figure it out. Would you please send us your explanations? And I realized my explanations were so long, I just started translating the text for them. And I started doing workshops based on the translation of Emma Curtis Hopkins' material, and found that I could identify her practices in a way that was not possible if you just simply read the text. And so I started doing those workshops, and one of those workshop participants ended up being the person who published The Secret. So when they published The Secret and they got people coming back and saying, I can't understand what Wallace Wattles is saying in The Science of Getting Rich and Charles Honnell is saying in The Master Key System, she knew who to call.
Yeah, and that's, I don't think that's very easy work. Sounds
well,
like a lot
I
of work.
It is a lot of work because, you know, one wants to get the kernel of what's being said, not, you know, in any way, you know, interfere with it or even really interpret it, but literally to translate their ideas into language and formats that people are comfortable with. And what we've done in the Library of Hidden Knowledge is we've done the translation in the first half of the book and included the original text in the last half of the book, so that people can go back and forth between them. And then I've done summary points and exercises and introduced modern examples and sometimes explained the modern science, how the modern science supports what these people were saying back between 1850 and 1930.
So that's what inspired you to create this, you call it the Library of Hidden Knowledge.
Right. The publisher actually saw the potential of that. And so after we had done The Science of Getting Rich and The Master Key System, and they were very well received, they said, what next? And I said, well, if you're still going with The Secret, Emerson has to be next. And, yeah, he's foundation for all of New Thought. So we did Emerson next. We called it Natural Abundance. And then they said, well, we think we can do two next year. So we did The Game of Life and How to Play It, which you and I talked about before, and James Allen's book, As a Man Thinketh, and brought that into our new world where people, you know, don't just say man when they mean humanity anymore. And so we brought it, you know, we cut out the gender issues. We broadened the spiritual language a little bit to include other spiritual sources besides the Bible and the Buddhist texts that he was using. Alan is amazing at that. This next year we're coming out with a version of Henry Drummond's Natural Law in the Spiritual World, which is the book that Ernest Holmes grew up with, that and the Bible. And we're calling it One Law because Drummond saw that you had to have one set of principles that applied to physical life and a spiritual life. There couldn't be two completely separate sets of principles, kind of like classical physics and quantum physics have to be merged somehow, you know, that same kind of thinking. And then the next one we're doing is actually an Emma Curtis Hopkins book that nobody has been able to bring forward before. So I'm very excited about that. And we're calling that one Spiritual Science. So it's very exciting to be able to do all of these.
Yeah. Well, so today we're talking about As We Think, So We Are, which is James Allen. Tell us about James Allen. Who was he?
He was an amazing person. He was a kid growing up in Midlands, England, and his father was a laborer in a spinning and weaving factory, and then the textile industry went in a hole back in 1879 when James Allen was 15. So his father took, you know, all the money they had and got on a ship and came to New York. Just at the time when that movie, The Gangs of New York, that kind of life was what was happening. And so 2 days after he arrived, they found him found his body and nothing on it. So there was James with his younger brother and his mother, you know, at 15 having to support them. And so he quit school and went to work in the factory, but he was able to read and write. And so the factory president got very excited. Here's someone who can read and write, the manager of the company, and they hired him to do clerical work. And so he had this remarkable opportunity to work with men who thought about things, who didn't just show up and, you know, earn a dollar and go home and eat their dinner. So one of his bosses gave him a copy of the complete works of William Shakespeare, and he, as he put it, he ate, drank, and slept Shakespeare for several years. Every chance he could, he was reading that Shakespeare. And then someone else, after, you know, after several years with that, he gave him a copy of Ralph Waldo Emerson's works, right about, that would have been about 1885 or so, so shortly after Emerson had passed away. And he was just blown away because here was this incredible explanation of how everything worked without having to rely on Christian doctrine to do so. He'd never seen anything like it. So he spent the next several years absorbing Emerson. And then someone introduced him to holistic health. He became the editor of a holistic health magazine in 1880s. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, we think we've invented all this stuff
yeah,
now,
exactly.
Our generation.
Right. In 1893, he was editing this magazine, and someone introduced him, of course, to Buddhism in the process. So he became involved with the whole set of principles in Buddhism, began to meditate on a regular basis, was eating a vegan diet, really, met a woman, and they married, and he was deliriously happy. And after he began to have a name for himself with his magazine, he went off on his own. He published a little book, and it sold pretty well. And so they bought a little house down in Cornwall on the ocean, and he would walk up every morning to the cairn, a big pile of rocks above his town, and go up there and meditate, and then he'd come back and he'd write for a while, and then he'd work in the garden, and then people started visiting them, so their home became kind of a B&B. People from all over the world would come over, and in the evenings they would, you know, explore these ideas. It was an amazing life.
So we're going to explore more of his ideas when we come back. This is Christanus on Voices of Women.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com. Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world find a North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams, or to schedule your Soul Breakthrough Session with Saskia, or call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861. Or visit YourSoulGuidance.com. That's YourSoulGuidance.com to receive the Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 days.
Have you ever considered what money and sex have in common?
Brenda St. Louis, founder of Know That You Know, explores the energies of debt, money, sex, and our bodies. In her four-week intensive Debt Into Delight, Getting Intimate With Your Digits, she tickles all those places we don't want to look at, infusing everything with exuberance. Would you be willing to have more money? Would you be willing to have more of you? Explore more of Brenda St. Louis at knowthatyouknow.com.
1230 WPLQ.
Women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Dr. Ruth Miller. And we've been talking about James Allen's book on As We Think, So We Are. So you were talking about his life and how he, I mean, it just seems like he really explored. He went beyond the norm of probably that generation's was, you know, strict sense of religion in England, the Anglican, and so what were some of his ideas that were profound for that era?
Well, besides the whole concept of holistic health and relating diet and meditation to living the good life, he came to understand that there were ways of thinking that could help us be happy and healthy, and ways of thinking that would help us be miserable. And he began to put that together, and he published a little book in 1902, that was called As a Man Thinketh, and that book just went all over the world. People were fascinated by it. He had tested everything that he wrote. He didn't even want to publish it, but his very, very fine wife, Lily, said, yes, you must publish it. And they did, in a little cloth-bound hardback book that she hand-painted flowers on. So if you ever find a small gift book of As a Man Thinketh that has flowers painted on the cover, it probably is an original one. So, yes, Lily was the one who made that happen. And then, of course, their career and their life took off. Now, his ideas basically were, we control how we are, and the universe, the world, the environment, shows up in response to that. Excuse me. So he's, you know, really taking things to the next step in a time when people didn't do that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I'm reading part of it, he talks about, you know, it's that doing that inward work, and that you start being your inner self before the external. And we still are caught up in that we've talked about a lot in the show, because a lot of authors talk about this, of we tend to look at the outside of ourselves for the answers. We look at the external world is, you know, we're so caught in that, our eyes looking outside of ourselves, and all the spiritual trainings is about going inside. And so that's his big message too.
Absolutely. And that's really what new thought means. Give up your old thought to have a different kind of experience. If you want a new experience, get a new thought. And so Allen was really one of the first people to say it absolutely so clearly. And when we put together the book As We Think, So We Are, we took his original As a Man Thinketh, and we got rid of the gender-based language, but we also introduced some other spiritual things. And then we introduced some of his other writings that are not so well known that help people actually apply the ideas. And it was a real delight to be able to put all of that together.
Yes, and I noticed in your section, where you have basically translated it, you have, I like it because you can actually just peruse the essential points at the end of the chapter if you don't have time to read.
I do try to make it easy.
Yeah, so those people who are attention spans. but it's nice because it actually, you know, it points out a lot of things. And so some of his topics are, you know, the the effect of thought in our circumstances, the effect of thought on our health and body. So really thinking through what's the purpose of our thought and the role of thought mm-hmm. in our lives and our achievements. And like you said, the second and third book go a lot more into things such as, mental attitudes. And one that I focus on was self-discipline, because it's something I'm looking at in myself, too, mm-hmm. of disciplining myself to be moving forward in my life and what that's going to take. And it's so easy, and especially in this culture, all the distractions.
Yes. But, I think Alan would agree with me in saying the only real discipline is managing our thoughts and feelings. It's not about whether we show up at the gym at 7 o'clock every 3 days a week or whatever it is. It's really managing our thoughts and feelings. Then all the behavior comes from that, right? So that if I'm not allowing my small self, ego self, to convince me that I really want to stay in bed when I've already made it clear that, that's not what I intend for my life and my well-being, then, I've used my self-discipline. So it's a very different approach, I think.
So how do you put that in practical terms? I mean, one thing to say, okay, I've got to manage my thoughts, I'm going to get out of bed and do this, but sometimes the body doesn't get out of bed.
Right. So he has three steps. He calls them control, clarification, and renunciation. And the control is simply, as he puts my version of his language, discipline is simply controlling the obsessive passions that have been controlling us. We resist the temptation and guard ourselves against the tendencies to selfish gratification. He says our first step is to bring our general appetites into subjection. So basically we choose something and we choose just for the practice to limit what we're going to do in that area, whatever it is, whether it's about food or about beverage or about shopping or about even about exercise. Some people get addicted to exercise, right? So we learn to manage that. Then we manage through that. We begin to realize we can manage other aspects of our life. In the Buddhist tradition, this would start by simply meditating on a consistent basis and begin to observe which part of our mind is leading us to overconsume something, rather than to simply run with it because it's happening and we're feeling it. We got the urge, so we run with it. That's what we've been taught to do. But the Buddhist tradition said, no, why don't you just watch that? See what happens. Where does it come from? Where does it go? And then it's much easier to manage it in that sense. And the second step, he says, is clarification. He says, as we practice self-control and get closer and closer to attaining the ideal at our inner center, we are less and less swayed by the obsessive passion, grief, pleasure, and pain, and begin to live a different kind of life. So control is the first stage, and the process of clarification is the second stage. And he says, we can never arrive at peace or actualize our ideals by merely controlling them. We must bring them from our being. In the clarifying of the heart and mind, we become strong and godlike, holding firmly to the ideal center within, and rendering all temptations powerless. True strength and power and effectiveness emerge through this self-clarification process. As we grow in clarity, all the elements that make up a strong and virtuous life are developed with increasing power. So we clarify for ourselves, what is it that we truly are ready to experience? Who is it that we truly are? What is the world that we want to be living in, instead of just bouncing from one thing to the next? And that's the second stage. And then the third stage is what he calls renunciation. He says, a process of letting the lower desires and all toxic and unworthy thoughts drop out of the mind, leaving them to perish by refusing to give them any attention. So when we have thoughts that are critical of ourselves or others, we go, not true, and we turn away from them. When we have thoughts that are saying, you know, if you do this, you're going to feel better, and we know that we won't, and we say, not true, and we don't pay attention to it. So it's to learn to turn away from those thoughts that no longer serve us. So he says, in pursuing this final stage, we then enter into and realize the divine life. We begin to manifest the distinctly divine qualities. And he has some exercises to help us do that.
Well, that's, you know, in those, it's nice that there's just 3 points on a discipline that you can focus very easily. And what I find fascinating is you change the word. If you go back to his original book, he uses the word purification for the second one, and you use clarification. And, I'm kind of fascinated, and we don't have time right now to talk about it, but that the change of the word from purification to clarification. Right. And I understand purification, too, but I think probably for us in...
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I just think one of the main things that people have to do is we have to get clear what is we want, you know, so...
And purification, we have so many connotations on. We wanted to get rid of that set of connotations. And what he really was saying is eliminate the toxins. Make, you know, eliminate all the things that aren't relevant so you can be, as you say, clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is Christine as you're listening to Voices of Women. When we'll come back, we'll talk more with Reverend Ruth Miller.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in each Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Awakening Radio with Patricia. This hit show awakens your dormant, divine, feminine energy. The Awakening Show is the next step on your evolutionary journey through life. Get ready to awaken the dormant seedings within you, your soul's encodement, power, and purpose. And bring this forward with confidence and clarity through the power of your own voice. This show promises to boldly go where you've been before. You just need to remember. Be inspired. Become rewired with The Awakening Radio. Visit awakeningradio.com for weekly topics.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Michelle Bond Show, Awaken to a New Reality, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. This call-in show with Vedic astrologer, expert, and holistic health practitioner, Michelle Bond, will give you insight to a wide range of topics. This hit show provides healthy, empowering knowledge and information and restores your health and well-being through learning the latest complementary and alternative medicine modalities. Visit themichellebondshow.com.
What if you could teach your child how to follow their own wisdom and make trustworthy decisions? The hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay does just that. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn practical and spiritual ways to teach young people how to become confident in who they are. Each week, Julie takes on tough topics that most parents dread, like bullying, peer pressure, self-esteem, social media, relationships, and even poor grades. For more information about Julie Kay, visit MindFocusedGeneration.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Women of wisdom. Women of wisdom. Women of wisdom. Rise and shine, sister kind. Spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. We're talking to Ruth Miller today on As We Think, So We Are is her new book. And we were just talking about the discipline and how we manage our thoughts and feelings, and his three points were control, clarification, and renunciation. So Ruth, moving on with that, what do you think the obstacles, we all sort of strive in that spiritual dimension of our life. We strive, there's all the talk to strive for oneness. So, but you know, it's not always so easy. We always come across obstacles, lots of obstacles in our life. You know, and sometimes you know how you have that high, like you just feel that oneness, and then the next day it's like, where'd it go?
Yep. So what Alan would say, and I think he's quite right with this, is the only real obstacle is our thoughts. Because what happens is we get a little thought that says, huh, that isn't quite right. You know, when we're in that wonderful, flowing, wonderful place, but we get that one little thought, either about ourselves or someone else, and it's a tiny little thought, we don't even notice it, and so we entertain it. And as he says, then that thought breeds other negative thoughts, which breed other negative thoughts, which lead to a negative emotional energy in our beingness, which shuts down the flow that we've just been enjoying so much. And then suddenly we go, as you say, where did it go? Right? So that's why he says it's so important to not even allow the smallest little judgmental, critical, unhappy, disturbing, distressed thought to happen, because it's not real. It is our small self, our ego self, you know, trying to get back in control, basically, and finding anything it can to pull us out of the flow where we're living from and with and in our higher being. So that's the only obstacle there is, our own thinking.
And it seems like, I mean, we can get pretty wrapped up in those thoughts. Just like you said, one thought leads to another, and then pretty soon you're just maybe laying in bed all day.
Right.
And depressed.
Exactly. And because the world out there reflects what's going on in here, it will happily line itself up on our negative thinking, and things won't come together in the way that we thought they should or
yeah.
were.
And we start looking for it to justify it.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel horrible, so I'm, oh yeah, it must be horrible out there. Oh yes, it is.
Right, exactly. So as we can open ourselves and our thinking to only allowing the loving thought, what he calls the divine qualities, to be where we are, you know, speaking, thinking, you know, even those funny little things that we just drop as an aside, you know, oh, well, she didn't need to do that, or, oh, well, yeah, you know how they are. Those kinds of little things, oh, my goodness, they can completely pull us out of that sense of flow and oneness.
And what you're pointing out is those comments are about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even about you. And so why is it even that your business? I remember, I think there's some authors or some people talking about, why are you making other people's business your own?
Right. I like the line, you know, what you think of me is none of my business.
Yeah.
What's going on out there in other people's lives? You know, Emma Hopkins teaches that as well. You know, focus on your own self. You got enough going on there.
Well, also, we make a lot of assumptions, too. We think we know what's going on with somebody else, and it may be totally different. And one of the things I say, and I try to, I have to do this myself and tell myself to do this, too, is to be curious and ask the question versus the statement.
Ah, nice, nice.
You know, because it may not be anything what you're thinking.
Right. So if we operate on the assumption that everyone – is doing the most loving, thoughtful, caring thing they could possibly do in the moment. And if it doesn't look like it, ask them what it is that's really happening here rather than assume what's really happening here. I think that's beautiful.
So we're kind of talking about how we apply, this is like applying the law of thought in our lives. Can you give us any more ideas or suggestions about how we do that?
Well, one of the things that Alan uses as an idea is the seed thought, those little tiny thoughts that can grow into these huge moods. And we put together an exercise in the book for, finding the seed thought. So I think it's kind of cool that, now at the beginning of spring, we can discover these seeds. But our goal here is not to plant them. It's to find them and then eradicate them. It's kind of like finding the weed thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you find yourself that you're out of sorts, if you're not in the flow, then you want to find the flawed thought. So find the cause and eradicate it. And what we did in the exercise is we encouraged people to think about what they've been thinking. So to literally take out the journal and look over the past week and then ultimately the last 3 weeks and write down, what have I been thinking about the people and the situations I've encountered? So what mental seeds have I been sowing? So if you look over the day-to-day, you've seen so-and-so-and-so-and-so, and you have these thoughts. Write them down. Pay attention. And then yesterday you saw so-and-so and did such-and-such, and you had these thoughts. Write them down. Pay attention. And then make a mark next to them. If there are seeds of gratitude and love, put a big heart and an exclamation point, something to, approve of that. And then if there are seeds of trouble and sorrow, notice that. Because you're going to want to change that if that's a habitual thought. And then from that we discover what he calls our attitude. Because the attitude grows from the thoughts, and the attitude then leads to the experience. So then from my thoughts I can discover what my attitude is. And he says, have I been fearful or greedy or complaining? Or have I been accepting, understanding, and thoughtful, for example? Those are some descriptions of attitudes. And then when we do that, we have found the seed. And then he has another set of questions. Those are the things I've been thinking. Now what are the things I've been doing and saying? So if I go back over the same period of time and see what I've been doing for people, have I been orienting my life so the people around me are happier and healthier, or have I been orienting my life so that, in a way that their well-being is not, interesting to me, is not what I've been focusing on? And he says when we, do nice things for other people, we're going to get more nice things back. It's that old golden rule, or the beyond the golden rule, we will reap what we sow. And so he's saying, am I sowing being loving and helpful? Or am I sowing being selfish and greedy? Or am I sowing being fearful and concerned? Sometimes we think to love someone is to express fear about them. And that's one of the things I have to tell all my friends when I go on a trip especially. Please, don't worry about me. See everything going beautifully instead. So, when we get out of the habit of being fearful, we begin to turn our thoughts around. So we spend a few days just looking at and observing what are we thinking, what are we doing, and what are we saying. And then we can see what the fruits are over the last several weeks from those things. I almost guarantee that if someone is feeling down and distressed today, the bulk of the last 3 weeks has not been filled with joyful thoughts and service to others.
Yeah, interesting exercise. And to do that, to spend 3 weeks, and I've heard it takes 3 weeks to change a habit. So this mm-hmm. is kind of a discipline of how you mm-hmm. might be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And reflecting.
Mm-hmm. Go.
No, go ahead.
Well, so we spend however long it takes to look over the last 3 weeks and then spend the next 3 weeks making the beginnings of the change. So if you see the ways you've been sowing the seeds, as he put it, trouble and sorrow, then he suggests labeling what they are, and he has 12 words or 10 words that are those seeds. And he said, actually write down when, you know, what places and what times you experience those thoughts. And now, and this is what I love, this is an exercise that is based on what he said and the other work that I do. What we want to do is rewrite those experiences, relive those experiences using the divine qualities, the love and the caring and the service and the, you know, the patience and fearlessness and wisdom and compassion. So what would happen if when I look at, oh, how I was, you know, in some restaurant or other and I was a little short with someone or in a line and, you know, whatever, and I wasn't as compassionate as I might be, you know, what would happen if I relived it being so fully compassionate that, you know, everyone around me felt the love? So that's what we do for 21 days. Actually, we use 28 days because apparently that's how long it takes to rewire the neural nets.
I would imagine in doing that, the next time you're in that situation, you'll remember what you rewrote. And come forward with it, with the divine qualities when you're interacting with people. Well, this is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and we will come back and talk more with Ruth Miller.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks. Powerful, inspiring. They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people bold in thought, and action who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and we're talking with Ruth Miller, who is the editor of and translator of As We Think, So We Are by James Allen. So, Ruth, can you give your contact information or your website where people can go to purchase your books and see what else you do?
Certainly. My website is RevRuthLMillerPhD.com or RLMillerPhD.com. They both work. And you can go there and you can click on any number of ways to buy the book, or you can go directly to Amazon or Beyond Words or Simon & Schuster to buy the book through the publisher or online through them. So it would be wonderful if you get interested in this book and would like to play with the exercises we put in it. We're very excited about what it can do for people transforming their lives. I've had people all over the world actually start to email me about it. Wow, this is making such a difference. I'm so glad you did it.
Oh, great. That's it's really important to get that feedback, you know, after all the work you've done, that it is impacting people's lives. Because, well, I think, you know, it's as we think, so we are, but it makes you rethink what it is you're thinking. Like, a lot of times we don't really focus. We just sort of, we're on automatic, you know? And that's how we've been patterned from little kids, and we don't think about how that has impacted us. And so it does us a big favor to, if you want to improve your life, you know, think about, well, what have you been thinking on? What have you been focusing on? Mm-hmm. So, and we've been talking a lot about that this hour. So one of the things I wanted to move into is a comment you made, how are dreamers the saviors of the world, and what you mean by that, dreamers. Who are you referring to as dreamers, and how are they the saviors of the world?
Okay. So, you know, we were just talking about how if you really want to start acting in a different way, you want to start imagining, you know, it working out a different way in your own experience. And we've said that if you want to change your environment, your circumstances, you need to change how you're thinking. So by changing how you're thinking and reenacting these experiences so that your habitual response is always what Alan calls the divine qualities, you begin to make your own circumstances more and more heavenly, and then that makes the world around you more and more heavenly, and you become ultimately the savior of your world. So it's a great concept. It's very much in alignment with A Course in Miracles in that way, that, you know, there is no one out there who is going to come and save us, because, you know, our world is a function of who we are and how we are being. Not only our world, but our bodies, our families, everything. It's interesting to watch that with my kids, especially. I've noticed that if I start to get concerned about them, they start calling me with, you know, distressing stories. But when I see them and know them as being these beautiful, light-filled beings who are living these satisfying and exploring lives and, you know, becoming fulfilled, I start getting these great calls. Mom, you won't believe what happened. So it's a beautiful, you know, simple way to see how we indeed do transform our world by what we are focusing our vision on. And if our dreams are these grand, beautiful, heavenly dreams, then we're going to see more of that.
Well, that shows the power of thought. You know, we don't think that we have that impact, but we do. And you just gave a good example with your kids. And the more we can focus on, something I said the other day in a meeting about reframing our words, even though we might be feeling negative about something, but if we reframe it, we might find the core issue that was kind of nagging at us, and we can reframe it in a way of realizing, oh, what's the truth here? And what's the purpose of this thought? What do I really want here?
Mm-hmm.
And reframe it in a positive way, because there's always some kernel of truth in that.
Yes, absolutely.
And instead of getting sort of wallowing in the depression and the sorrow of this more negative thought. It's looking at, well, what's this thought bringing to me?
Right.
Even just asking that, that's that curiosity question. What, why is this coming forward? Because it means I need to look at something. And instead of looking out there because you're upset at somebody, what somebody else said, is they're reflecting something that's going on in you, and to look at, okay, why did that bother me, and what is it here for me to learn? And then we can reframe it, and I think this is all what this book is about too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Recognizing that what's going on out there is simply showing us what we've been thinking, and we can change that. Isn't that wonderful? So much power in that, huh?
Yeah, and the more you do that, the less negative people will be hanging around you too, because you'll be drawing forward those wonderful positive people who will be encouraging you in your life, who will validate your life, and it'll change your life around, but it starts with you. Those people aren't going to show up until your thoughts change of how you feel about yourself
and them.
And them. Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's both. It's, you know, if I know myself to be loving as well as lovable, and I know that everyone around me is really the same thing, I'm far more likely to attract loving, lovable people, eh?
That's true. And I wanted to go into a little bit of, I have to find it, you probably have it right there. The 10, there was the 10 negative thoughts, and there was the 10 positive.
Divine qualities.
Divine qualities. So that's what we're going, the goal is to get to these divine qualities. So why don't you go over those?
All right. So what he's attempting to do is to help us realize that a lot of the things that we have said we couldn't possibly live up to are in fact things that are in us all the time. You know, and so when he, you know, when we talk about, you know, God as being, you know, pure love, or we talk about, someone being wisdom incarnate or something, we put it out there, but we need to know that they are in us and we need to choose them. So for him, there are 10 divine qualities that are in every single person, and we can have them be more and more the core of who we are and how we are. He suggests the first one is clear, undistracted focus, to be able to be focused. Now, he is a man, and men need to focus in a different way from the way women do. And the masculine brain is a focused brain. The women's brain is a dispersed awareness brain. But what it's saying is be intent, clear, single-eyed in your intent so that other things don't get in the way of it. The second thing that he's...
Well, you know what, Ruth? We're not going to be able to go through all the 10. They're going to have to get your book, but even just having the first one of being clear is great. So this is Chris Stainis, Voices of Women. Thank you so much for being with us today, Ruth.
My pleasure, and I look forward to another time. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too. So I'd like to leave everyone with this thought today. How do you apply the law of thought in your life? What are you thinking? And how is the world reflecting that in your life? How can you change your thoughts to have the world reflect a wonderful life for you and others? So I want to remind people you can sign up for the Women of Wisdom newsletter. Just go to www.womenofwisdom.org. And it's the final week of our program of financial grant that we're doing. If you live in Washington State, to go to communityforumsnetwork.com, .org, and you can even go to womenofwisdom.org. We'll have the site there where you fill out an education survey about education in the state of Washington, and we are getting a grant money. We've already earned $1,500, and we're going towards 60 more people. We'll have $2,500. So if you fill that grant, that survey out by the end of the this month, we will be able to have that $2,500. So I encourage you to do that. So thanks so much. Have a great weekend. Next week I'll be interviewing Sue Frederick on her new book, I See Your Dream Job, and also a second book, I See Your Soulmate. So thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio,
a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.